Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Match Ball Podcast for the Reading home victory 1-0 to Leeds United today at Elland Road. I'm Dan Moylan. With me is Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
And we thank Levi Solicitors for their continued support. If you want 10% off your legal fees, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Well then, gents, I'm sure this recording could sound a lot like many other recordings we've done this year. A 1-0 win should have been more. They weren't great. We were fine. Should we go home?
Yeah, pretty much. It's ordinary. If we win every game 1-0, I'll take it.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, I think we'll go up doing that. I think we'll do well.
Thoughts on today then? Kind of a bit of a scrappy game. Was it the conditions? We didn't quite hit top gear like we did against Bristol, maybe.
Not as good as against Bristol, but we're so much better than them. You can't stress enough just how much better we were in pretty much every aspect. And then it does have to still come down to the last minute and us scrambling a ball away. I was really quite satisfied with injury time as well until then. Earlier in injury time, he was down in the bottom corner in front of the admittedly very hostile Reading fans. Oh, you wouldn't want to be in front of them, would you? It's a bear pit down there. And it was just in that corner. You think, lovely, this is where we do injury time. Let's just keep it down there. And then somehow they managed to almost score and almost win a penalty, which I've not seen back. But their striker seemed convinced it was a penalty. But
yeah, but he's convinced Reading are a good team, isn't he? Probably get off the pitch and go, like, oh, we played very well today. Unlucky not to nick one.
Their striker was horrendously bad, I have to say. Puskas. I've never seen anyone quite so preoccupied with the physical side of the game. He seemed obsessed with just shoving people about.
What else was he going to do?
But he didn't seem to be bothered where the ball was at all.
Exactly. What else is he going to do? Because they didn't have the ball, did they? So, I mean, they had
but
to...
But there were times when he could have got it, but it was instead busy, like, elbowing people in the chest and just trying to throw people on the floor.
It says something. Their best player by a mile is Jonathan Swift, and they subbed him off because he did nothing. Absolutely nothing. And we didn't even have Calvin Phillips against him for most of the game. He was just rubbish. So that helped.
Four straight victories against Reading and another win for us.
They should just, why don't they just give up?
Okay. I mean, you could.
And there's no point in Reading. I mean, we said in the preview, I don't know who any of them are. All right, they've got Charlie Adam, but.
They've got Pelé and Puskas.
Well, exactly. It's just everything about them is just as false as the fingernail I found on the gantry, which we'll come on to later, which they just need to stop.
Just playing football.
Yeah, just stop playing football, being a football team, turning up every season. It's just, they just annoy me. They're not even 15th anymore, they're 16th, so they've messed that up too. But yeah, just today's kind of meh-ness was definitely enhanced by the fact that it's Reading and I just don't care.
Just another win we had to chalk up, really, wasn't it, that one?
Yeah, which on a weekend when, I know, so West Brom obviously had an absolute walkover against Bristol City, who the poor tired darling lambs lay down. But everybody else has kind of had a right old wobble in our favour.
And we're 5 points clear suddenly.
It's good that, isn't it?
I was watching the Brentford game and even when Blackburn went 2-0, I thought, Brentford will still win this. I know they're going to win this. And they dived to win a penalty as well in that game. Admittedly, Bradley Johnson was a little bit brainless to put his hand on someone's shoulder, but he then went down as if he'd had his legs swept from under him.
Bradley Johnson said, ain't so.
Nice to have that gap open up again, though, isn't it? It feels like we can all, not relax because we don't want to take our foot off the gas, but we can just sort of admire our position a little bit more and say, okay, maybe we've got this. Just maybe.
Just maybe. Just maybe. I mean, we will still be top after Wednesday. So that's good.
Top?
Top two.
Top two. Christ. It's because it matters so little to me whether we're top or just top two.
Yeah.
That we might as well be top.
It is. Today was just a reassuring continuation of what we saw against Bristol City. Not quite at that level, but I mean, maybe there's an argument that Reading are they better than Bristol City somehow, despite being miles below them in the league. But just that, yeah, we can win games back to back. We haven't done that for a while this year. And just, yeah, another 3 points while all around us, like I say, the result, Fulham drawing at Derby last night and looking pretty bad. They're basically just, if their goalkeeper has a good game, they draw. If he has a bad game, they lose 3-0 to Barnsley. And then, yeah, Brentford only getting a draw at Blackburn Rovers. Those things help. And now Preston, like I was saying to, I'm not going to say it.
Go on.
I said to Phil when I got there.
Where are you referring to?
Where did you get up to?
Well, I set up goal alerts for the teams that are kind of around us. Like I look at the match and say, well, which ones need to keep an eye on? And it's different teams every time. I was like, oh yeah, so obviously Bristol coming in the playoffs. And then I'm like, oh, how are Preston above them? Why now Preston on my mind? I don't care about Preston, but suddenly I have to take an interest in the fact that they beat Hull.
And then they'll level on points with Brentford and Forest.
Well, that was the thing at one stage today. Blackburn were sixth and suddenly like 6 points behind us.
I mean, they need to just fuck off. I know I've said this about Reading, and if I had my way, pretty much every other team would just get lost. It makes things a lot easier. Middlesbrough can stay because they're hilarious.
Don't say that ahead of Wednesday, you idiot.
No. It's going to be fine. If they lose to Luton and Barnsley, the bottom two teams.
But they'll try against us. Can I just say, by the way, that I've just seen a tweet saying that their fans are singing to them, "You're not fit to wear the shirt," as they've left the pitch tonight. You know they'll be right up for it on Wednesday.
My favourite tweet of last week when I was scrolling through the Jonathan Woodgate coverage after they lost to Luton was one of their fans described him as a footballing Nazi, which is just so completely insultingly meaningless. I can't help but admire that it's got to that point at Borough. It's just such a absolutely random, enormously offensive lashing out at somebody that you have to say. I mean,
I've just opened the stats.
How do you address that?
Their game today, you might think it was a narrow victory for Barnsley, but 18 shots versus 5. I mean, they've absolutely battered him by the sounds of it. Borough have only managed 190 accurate passes in the whole game. We better win.
When I open
this is going to look very foolish when we don't.
When I open up SofaScore for the ads, it says that the key man for Barnsley today, pulling all the strings, Alex Mowat, player of the game.
Hey, let's tell you what, let's talk about Leeds, shall we?
I brought it back to Alex Mowat. Yeah, get more Leeds than
this is about today's match.
MC Freestyle.
We'll worry about that on Tuesday, Borough.
Wednesday.
When we record on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, Kiko, he's won us that game at the death there, hasn't he, really?
Yeah, I suppose. Good save. And it's a nice way for him to sign off before he goes on his summer holidays.
Yes.
We'll see you next season, Kiko. Thank you very much.
It is a sign of how good it was that Bielsa, how good a save it was that Bielsa went onto the pitch to shake his hand, which he does not do. I think the only other time I can think of him, I know last week he gave Alioski and Berardi a hug, but they were the substitutes, so he did that in the safety of the technical area. The only other times I can remember him being on the pitch at full time was Brentford last year when Pablo Hernandez was just sobbing in tears and he had to go back to him and sort of do what they talk about when Pablo flashes back to Vietnam and he just needs a reminder that it's the 21st century, that's all over now. So that seemed significant. And there was somebody has tweeted the info from behind the bench. It looked like Kessié played the second half with an injured hand, which ties in because Meslier was doing a lot of warming up at half time. And at the start of the second half, he got together with the goalkeeper coach and Kessié. And Kessié was kind of holding a hand up. I did wonder as if he was kind of like, yeah. He was kind of pointing at.
I'm allowed to use these. I can use these.
Yeah. Ilan, they've just told me the craziest thing. It all plays into to just what an absolute stand-up, solid hero, fine character, as I'm sure. It seems like this week, I don't know what the circumstances were, but a lot of people got together in London just to talk about what a great guy Kiko Kessié is. people coming from far and wide just to come and tell a panel who seemed to be taking an interest in the matter, he's a good man. And we saw it today with that save. But for, yeah, I wish that save had been unnecessary.
Did you notice on Meslier's warm-up that one of them, the first shot I saw him face against the goalkeeper coach who was just trying to warm him up, absolutely twatted it into the side netting from about 12 yards away. I thought, trying to give him some confidence. Christ.
There's another one, yeah, he volleyed it like at his head and into the net from about 6 yards out, just smacked in. I don't think anybody would have been able to stop that one, but
maybe this is why Kiko's in the state he's in. He's having to face daily trauma.
So yes, it's right today, knife throwing, get in the goal.
Would you have been surprised if the FA had announced the ban at half time? Immediately suspended as of now,
and we got to play with 10
form in that respect.
Something we did try today by having Patrick Bamford on the pitch.
I mean, it was very Bamfordy today, wasn't it? Very Bamfordy.
I feel like it's almost irrelevant because we won. So I don't know what particular benefit there is in hammering in Pat Bamford, but we could give it 5 minutes, couldn't we?
I think the thing that annoyed me with him today is it felt like he has stopped trying to score goals, which may sound silly, because I'm sure he would still like one. But like he doesn't want to be there to miss the chance from 6 yards, so he's just making sure he's not there, is a bit how it feels.
Yeah, there's almost an argument that he just needs to get out of the way. Just we're trying to score here, Pat, because his best work is outside the box. We've been saying that for ages. So if he just sticks to all that build-up play, and then when we are getting into the area, somebody else be the striker. He did, 5 minutes to go, he had the shot over from about 20 yards, which wasn't miles over and it wasn't miles wide. And I was glad he took it on because it was the kind of thing, I think a lot of the groans and moans that were greeting the stuff he was doing today was when he wasn't doing that kind of striker stuff, that try to score stuff. So he ran through and you could see the opportunity opening up for him to just try and leather it from outside the penalty area. And he did. So I'm like, good. Thank you, Patrick. It doesn't matter that it didn't go in.
But that's what strikers
decent
do.
Decent attempt, yeah. And we don't see it often enough from the team in general, I think, where there's those goals from miles outside the box. So I was happy for him to have a go. It didn't quite make up for the one in the first half when Jackie cut it back and he tried to hit it. Well, he tried to shoot with his left foot and completely missed his kick. Then the ball came back to him. Jackie gave it back to him for a quick 1-2, said, right, let's make another chance. And he just booted the ball over the goal line. It's like two in very quick succession. We're just thinking, come on, Bamford, we need you. He wasn't the only one who wasn't quiet on the game.
That's what I was about to say. Do you not think the others are culpable as well?
Well, the others tend to space it out. They don't do two things in the penalty area in 10 seconds that make you think, please, just 15 minutes gone. Kevin, on the pitch.
Because there's a thing, there's a moment today when Bamford, he did that, I think it was it first half, maybe second, can't remember. But either way, he did that really good work right on the edge of our area, where he tracked back, won the ball back, did some neat things with his feet, got it out and created an attack that I think he ended up trying to get involved with as well.
Yeah, that's where it goes wrong. Just don't do that. Just maybe when Calvin Phillips went off, as an argument, dropping him in there, defensive midfield. It's no crazier than we were listening to the Radio Leeds phone in as we came in when there's all this argument about playing him as a number 10. He can't pass, he can't control the ball, he can't kick straight, he's got no confidence. So let's drop Pablo Hernandez, who is, whatever his form, our best technical player, and let's put him in a position that he's completely ill-suited to so that we can get Jean-Kevin Augustin on the pitch and, I don't know, just completely ruin Patrick Bamford's life even more. I don't think that's the solution.
But
probably defensive midfield is not the solution either.
He is an enigma in that respect, though, isn't he? It's kind of, you can quite clearly see he's not really cut out for this kind of striker role, but where else do you put him? But he
you get Big Kev fit and you just drop him. I think that's the thing.
But he brings a lot to the team, is what I was going to say. He brings a lot to the team, but except he can't do the bit that we kind of need him to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to his mid-20s being a striker, so he probably needs to just continue doing it.
But he was a wide forward as well. He's played like, you know, as a centre-forward rather than a striker before, when he's played in a two, and he's also played like as a wide attacker, not a winger as such, but, you know, one of the sort of wide men.
We do have to remember he did score that hat-trick for Middlesbrough against us when he was playing on the left of a three, and maybe those are the two conditions he needs. He needs to be on the left of a three, and he needs to be playing against Leeds because he fucking hates us. Maybe that's the problem. But no, I think I don't think Bamford is a particularly big deal today. I've kind of, as part of my sort of Zen approach to the promotion running, I'm much more accepting of the situation than, and of all the situations, than I was in September and October, where you felt like, no, we need to change this. We need to get something in place for the rest of the season. Now with what, yeah, we've got 12 games to go, I'm just like, look.
It is what it is.
Yeah, Pat Bamford is Pat Bamford, and he's going to be Pat Bamford for the rest of his life. And so changing Pat Bamford between now and May feels like it's just not going to be practical. So we just need to get Kevin fit enough to be an alternative, and then just put them on the pitch at different times and see which one of them can score a goal, because, you know, Patrick Bamford is going to play even if it's off the bench, because Big Kev might take his place. He is going to be playing for Leeds United for the rest of the season. So it's a little bit like, you know, Alioski bites people. Harrison's final ball is not great. Kiko Kassia says things. All those, that kind of stuff. I'm just kind of like, this is us now.
This is what we are, yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
A word on Harrison today then and his performance. What do you reckon?
He wasn't as involved as he generally is today, I didn't think. Second half, I thought he did some quite nice stuff. Very twisty, isn't he? Very twisty player. Twisty, then another twist. He's quite good. And there was one really nice thing he did on the edge of the box. It was at the far end, so I didn't get a proper view of it. But I think he got the ball off Charlie Adam, who admittedly is the slowest of the slow players. I mean, how he's on the pitch, I have no idea. Because I don't accept he's coming to the end of his career and stuff.
He's past the end of his career. But
you come on and you expect that you'd at least be able to run around for a bit. If you're only being asked to do 10 minutes, you'd think he'd be able to run some of the time.
That one when he had the ball and he ran, well, he walked through the middle. It was painful.
Oh, I've just looked it up actually, just out of interest. He is younger than Cristiano Ronaldo.
Charlie Adam?
Yep.
Wow. almost some very similar specimens though.
And I absolutely adore Marcelo Bielsa's response to that. Jamie Shackleton? Right, go on there and mark him, because you are the fastest little bastard I've ever seen in all my life. And you see that old horse, go and run around it and confuse it until it falls over.
I felt bad because I think he'd probably only just got off the bench and stopped having to look at the terrifying face of Charlie Adam. And Shackleton was probably having a nice little rest from the wizened old man that had been running up and down the touchline. And then he's like, nope, you've got to go on and stand really close to him now. He's like, oh, Dad.
I thought Jackie was good. I thought Helder Costa was good as well, particularly. I thought defensively today, he was really good. A lot of times he was getting back and winning the ball and then using it quite well. He's I know this sounds like a really limited thing to be admiring your £15 million winger for, but winning throw-ins by booting off their players when we're trying to defend, I thought, great, goes back, wins the tackle, wins the throw-in, cool,
yeah,
job
good,
done.
Good at that.
And it's really good. And some of his stuff, he is when he gets into tight spaces, I think he might be getting better at this, because the talk of him before he arrived is it's all kind of on the counter, play the ball in front of him into space and he'll race after it like all the horses Charlie Adams dreams of being. But he's getting quite good at when Pablo passes one of those balls that just is going to come to a halt on the actual byline, of then getting there and rolling it back in and around somebody and then zipping it across the 6 yard box where stuff doesn't happen.
I like Costa.
I like him too. And I think he may, him and Harrison with their final ball thing, they might look better if we did have that fox in the box, Francis Jeffers.
Yeah, and when we're not playing.
That's the answer, is it?
Yes, I think
Francis
so.
Francis Jeffers.
Francis Jeffers.
Where'd you pluck that from?
Because that's what Arsene Wenger called him when he signed him. He said, we need a fox in the box. And he did absolutely nothing for Arsenal.
Saying, he said he called him that and then he never scored a goal again.
Oh, dear me. I was going to say, and when we're not playing against teams who completely pack the box like that all the time, which is what we face nearly every week, most of the time, 8 men just in that 6 yard box. So it'd be interesting when we've got a bit more space when we're in the Premier League.
When we are. I think Costa and Harrison, the pair of them, they're right on the verge of being the two best wingers in this league.
Yeah.
They really do look better than pretty much everyone we face. It's just that it's hard to say whether it is their fault or whether it's the fault of people they're passing to, because I'm no doubt as well that, this, not to just put this on Bamford, I'm sure across the season Costa has had countless times where he's cut it back to Hernandez or Clich or Harrison or Alioski or someone who should just bloody score as well.
That's the one that annoyed me with old Bambo. It was cut back to him by somebody, and it was, if he'd, I mean, we watched Mitrovic.
Is it one where he passed it?
He laid it off to Ben White.
And yeah, but, I know.
Which one of you is the goal scorer here?
It was on his right foot, wasn't it?
I think, well, I mean, he was sort of side onto goal, so he needed to take a touch into space, turn and shoot. But do it.
Which is his weaker foot when it comes to striking? Is it his right or his left?
Yeah.
Yeah, you pinched my joke. Let's talk about Calvin, because that was a bit worrisome.
It still is a bit worrisome.
He came on the pitch at the end.
Yeah.
And he's walking, he's moving. He did a lot of, I think he's officially taken over from Pontus Janssen now with the south stand of celebrating, doing the right, right, right. He did that twice and his legs did not collapse under him.
I was pleased to see him at the end, because you worry he's going to have...
straight to hospital.
Yeah, or with a big leg brace on, you know, like the sort of thing Barry Douglas was on holiday wearing, like a thing that means you can't move it, because there was some talk about, well, it looks like it could be a cruciate ligament or something, the way he went down and the way he was walking and stuff. But I think if you've done that, you're not just allowed to have a wander around the pitch, are you?
No, and he wasn't walking like somebody who...
He was limping.
Not at full time, I didn't think. I thought he was walking.
Hopping. He was hopping around. Like a little spring rabbit.
The wheel that they'd put on the, on that leg was helping his mobility. He didn't look as if he was particularly distressed at full time. So, and certainly, he would, if you thought perhaps that your ACL had gone and you're going to be out of football for the next 6 months to a year, I don't know if you'd be in front of the south stand anyway, you know, giving it lots of big smiley and cheery. You'd be crying in the dressing room, even if you are football's nicest person.
Do we know how he did it, for sure?
One of the Reading players just kicked him. I don't think it was for sure.
Did he get given a bit of a hospital pass, something like that?
I don't know. He just lay down on it. Maybe he'd had enough.
It was a weird reaction to his injury, because there was a bit of an attempt to get a song going, but mainly that the stadium was just silent while he was laying on the pitch, and then he was walking off and it was still silent, and he broke into a half jog and everyone went, ah! His legs are still looking.
He lives.
But then he did go off about 10 minutes later.
And then Helder Costa went down as well, looking done, because he didn't.
There was nothing wrong with that. You could tell there was nothing wrong with him.
He had a big old limp. He was limping around a little bit as well. And then if we think Kiko did his hand after that as well, there was a... we were running out of players for a little while in there.
Did you not think we played better, actually, after Calvin went off? Because he wasn't having the best of games. He was a bit sloppy.
Yeah, he wasn't brilliant. Maybe... better. Reading's tactic seems to be their lads in midfield, apart from Jonathan Swift, were all just good at getting the ball and running past Calvin really fast. And that seemed to stop when Calvin went off. I don't know if it's because Ben White is an effective defender and was able to stop that. I did kind of think somebody was heading for a red card with the way those players just kept running through and the way our tackles kept bringing them down. I didn't think it was going to lead to a goal because they essentially just, you know, they gave it to one of their forward players and that was the end of it. But we were fine. I think we can probably be without him against Middlesbrough because, I mean, we could play the reserves and we'll win against Middlesbrough. God. And then, you know, I'm not too frightened about Hull. So if Calvin wants to take the week off to get over whatever is wrong with him there,
Jesus,
that's fine. And then we'll bring him back for the bigger games.
A quick word, little left turn now, but quick word for Pep Clatet.
Before you move on to that, in that case, I've just opened, I thought you'd still be talking about our game, but Bielsa on Phillips' injury, he says, I think it's a kick, but I don't know if this, and then in square brackets, it says, will evolve as a serious injury or not.
Sepsis has already set in. We may be able to save the leg.
And then he says, White helped the team, making the defence solid, but Calvin had managed the ball in a different way. And then he's talking about football. I'm lost. but yeah, so he says he doesn't know if it's going to be serious, but he believes it's a kick. But Thomas Christensen, I believe, has trademarked saying it was a kick.
Sounds like the Michael Normanton School of Physiotherapy, that one. Sort of injury, was it?
A kick.
Yes. A kick. Yes. And I was going to say a quick word for Birmingham and Pep Clatet, who keeps fighting the good fight versus a snake.
Very, yeah. Very, very funny at full time to see that result.
That they scored in the 91st minute.
Beautiful.
Very nice. Very nice.
Everyone likes to see a last minute goal at Birmingham, don't they?
I looked at half time and I was kind of, because our game was a bit boring, I was toying with the idea of whether I could get to Birmingham. Because it was just warm. I noticed that Gary Gardner of Birmingham got booked for simulation 2 minutes before half time. And I could just kind of see Gary Monk kind of making that point to Pep Clatet and it all, you know,
fractious.
Yeah, things getting fractious, and then for it to end with a 91st minute equaliser in a 3-3.
The tension of a Monopoly game Christmas Day afternoon, and just, with the family that you sort of resent,
and just Pep Clatet's face as well when that goes in, because he won't have celebrated big style, just a smile
to himself,
and then. We need to, yeah, there's not time now to go into whether there's been handshakes or whether Gary Monk has ostentatiously showed his back again or pretended he needs to tie his shoelaces or whatever other nonsense he needs to do to avoid football's second nicest person after Calvin Phillips. But yeah, that's good. And Middlesbrough losing to Barnsley after losing to Luton, hilarious. West Brom.
Huddersfield are in trouble. As well, massive trouble. That's funny.
But and then you've got to remember, we've counted this up before, Sheffield Wednesday and Derby are 14 points clear of above Barnsley, who are 22nd. So if they do get these healthy points deductions, all gets very interesting down there. It almost makes me... I already wanted this, but if we could have our affairs sewn up before the Charlton game, you know, safe, we know we're finishing third, everything's established, it's all cool. So we can just watch all that chaos going on the final day, because it is warming up down there for, I mean, let's just imagine Sheffield Wednesday and Derby going down on the final day because they've had a points deduction that put them in the mix, and then, oh.
Can we just say, this is quite funny, I'm just looking at the table now, Sheffield Wednesday are on 45 points. We've had a terrible run of form, as we've discussed at length over the last couple of months. However, we are now 17 points in front of them. They were going to overtake us when they beat us at Elland Road. That's quite something, isn't it?
This is it. And now you look.
It's mental.
And
isn't
then
it?
Preston have appeared from nowhere and could be going up through the playoffs. We could be playing them in the playoffs. We're not going to be playing them in the playoffs. Yeah, it's a mad, mad division. And the fact that one day we'll look back on all this and laugh and say, how did we manage to lose all those games and draw all those games and have such bad form and still be promoted easily with weeks to spare?
Yeah, I mean, people hold up, and I was saying this to somebody I was having a chat with through the week, that we look back on the 89-90 season and people over a certain age will tell you it's the best season they've ever seen. And I would probably agree with them. I think I enjoyed 89-90, the outcome, possibly even more than 91, 92. Mm-hmm. It was like the cherry on the icing on the cake. It was fairly torrid in 1990. It was horrible and tense after Christmas, all the way up to and including Barnsley right towards the end, when and then it also came good in the last 10 minutes against Leicester and then at Bournemouth as well. But even then, it was a dreadful experience.
Last day, wasn't it? Yeah. People forget that, because Bournemouth is such a happy memory for so many people, not for obviously the people of Bournemouth.
Yeah. Residents of Bournemouth didn't really seem to get down with it that much.
No, but if we hadn't won.
Joyless people, aren't they, down there?
Imagine if we'd not beaten them. Like, that's what it came down to. We had to beat Bournemouth on the last day.
Today was verging on not enjoyable, wasn't it? Well, we were the better team.
Reading ruin everything. There's just, we were better than them. They were rubbish, but it's just, nah.
It'd be just so nice if we could just go into that last few minutes, two or three up, and just be like, okay.
Well, we have got Middlesbrough on Wednesday. I mean, there's a very real possibility, if the game's anything like the one at Elland Road, that should be the case. I mean, we couldn't really ask for a better game coming up.
No. Probably not, no.
You sound terrified.
Well, no, it is subjectively true that they are on a terrible run of form and we are on now. Does this have to class as a good run of form?
Yeah, but ask yourself this question. Let's put them both in the mix. What are Jonathan Woodgate and Robbie Keane going to do to change their form between Saturday tea time and Wednesday night? I'll answer that question for you. Fuck all.
I just looked, Middlesbrough last won a game on the 1st of January.
Yes.
Quite a long time ago, that.
They're overdue one. But they're terrible. They are terrible. A quick word then on for heroes and villains from today.
Villain, their number 21, Michael Alois, who wasn't supposed to start, but somebody dropped out, for trying to take a throw-in when it was the most obvious Leeds United throw-in I've ever seen in my entire life. He was also quite good, which didn't help. But yeah, that was an absolute
outrage. That the one that Costa won down on the right?
It was, yeah. And then he picked up and tried to take it, and there was just like...
Neither the referee or ridiculous. The linesman actually indicated which way that was going.
Because it was fucking obvious.
You should still point. Well, you've got one job, just point.
It's that guy from Australia who was on they did the microphone for his last match down there, so maybe...
Ah, it's that guy, is it? Yeah. I knew he was Australian, didn't realise it was that fella.
Maybe it's like with the... Maybe they don't point in Australia, I don't know. Well, Neil Kilkenny pointed a lot, didn't he?
Heroes?
My lucky fingernail.
Oh, yes.
I found a falsy on the gantry. Yeah, you were ready. And I assume it was there for the Bristol match as well, because it must have been. And so we won the Bristol game. We won this one.
It's quite pink and sparkly, though. So, is it Phil Hayes?
It's pink. I asked about. Nobody's seems aware of it. Yeah, it's pink with sparkles around the edges. People so far seem to think it's quite grim that I've picked this up and pocketed it. But well,
if they saw your fingernail collection... Then they'd be impressed.
Say at least it's not been wrenched off a woman as the rest of them have been.
It's just a
goodness.
It's just a piece
he's,
of.
He's committing no crimes.
It's just a piece of sparkly acrylic. It's absolutely fine.
Well, it went very dark towards the end, didn't it? So heroes.
Yeah, I'm trying.
I want you to wear that until we lose a game. Every game, I want you to go to the shop, buy some adhesive, and I want you to stick it on your little finger.
Here's its power. So you'll hate the fact that I'm about to set the dinger off like anything. But we are... So you saw what happened with Kiko Kassia in the closing stages of that match. About a minute before that, I'd had the fucking full thing from Phil Hay where he's going, oh, I think this one's in the bag, this one. Think we're all fine here. And I had to turn to him and I said, right, this is now the power of the curses. This is Phil Hay versus my lucky fingernail. And I was... This doesn't help on the for listening... But I was making the sign of a cross in front of him as if I was doing an exorcism. Because I'm fucking sick of it. I don't want to sit next to him anymore when it's like 3 minutes to go and he's sitting there saying, oh, I think this is all going to be fine. And then they're running through and Kiko Kassia, of all people, is saving the day. So, but now I've got my lucky acrylic, my lucky falsy will ward off evil Scotsman.
Oh, because we've partnered it up with The Athletic, we should mention, because we're talking about Phil Hay, that you can get 50% off your subscription.
Right, and I want to mention that's not the reason I brought this up, because that sounds horrible.
theathletic.co.uk/thesquareball if you want to get a free trial and 50% off. We have to mention that.
So will I get free fingernails?
If you want them. I mean, you take them anyway. Let's wrap it up then, but any more heroes and villains to add?
I feel like Stuart Dallas deserves a nomination just for his... Well, in fact, all of our players, just because it's never a straight swap, is it? Whenever a player goes off, it's always like, okay, he can go there, you move to the other side of the pitch, you drop in a bit. they're good at doing it.
All of them?
Well, all of the defensive.
I want to nominate, with that in mind, Gianni Alioski for reminding us how good a job Stuart Dallas has been doing whilst he's been at fullback.
He wasn't that bad.
There's nothing wrong with Alioski today.
It's just the tendency that he has to make terrible decisions whilst never being abysmal. Just he always just, you know, kick it into the man, or you know, he wasn't
bad
today.
Fine. No.
All right, he was fine.
Oh, he needed his energy because there was the risk of bringing Barry Douglas on, and because they kept Plessick playing it.
I was just joking.
Down that side to Mate, who looked quite fast. I was glad that it was Alioski down there to kind of just do the random, really running fast thing rather than Bazdog doing the kind of always chasing somebody quite slowly. I'd like to see Charlie Adam and Barry Douglas in a race.
Okay. Are we done there?
I think so.
On to Wednesday. Right, we'll reconvene on Tuesday to do the regular Square Ball podcast with a
preview the laughable match that we've got on Wednesday night.
And match ball for you after the match on Wednesday night. And other than that, we'll speak to you soon. Oh, and 10% off your legal fees. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. See you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.